Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, in today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. In fact, the key sentence for this series states, "Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly." In our last podcast, we listened to one of the Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts you did with your wife, Karen, in a three-week-long series entitled Down with the Dulls. When you attend weekly worship services, what reaction do you have to the public reading of Scripture?
Well, it's hard to answer that directly because I travel a lot and I'm in different churches. And sometimes I'm thrilled. In fact, there are times when I've just been deeply moved as a person who reads very well, has that part in the morning service. Other times, it's just the opposite. I would say probably the negative side is more often than the positive side. And I'm still in situations often because I happen to be there when the service is thrown together at the last one. So, and you'll read Scripture this morning. Okay, I'm happy. What's the passage? That doesn't work. So it's still a problem. I think that as I listen to these programs that we made probably 30 years ago, they're still appropriate, timely for today.
Very good. Well, let's eavesdrop on another exchange between you and your wife, Karen, on this very topic. We'll begin by listening to Ted Seeley read a passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke.
David and Karen's next message gives practical hints for the person who's asked to read Scripture for a group. What happens when you are asked to read a Bible passage? Well, I was. Perhaps you'd like to hear how it turned out. "And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. There was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him."
Ted Seeley's reading from Luke chapter 4 introduces the second broadcast in a three-week series here in the Chapel of the Air. The subject is the better reading of the Scriptures in our church services, and we're calling our series Down with the Dulls. I'm David Maines. Karen, at least in this setting, Christ very much had the attention of his listeners when he opened the Bible for them.
I think this is a marvelous passage to use because it perfectly illustrates exactly what we've been talking about. It's the public reading of the Word. And there's perhaps not many more dramatic scriptures because it is the keynote announcement of Christ's ministry. He has something to say.
And that phrase is fascinating at the end, isn't it? And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. It's just very graphically put by Luke here in chapter 4. Let's talk about some lessons we can learn from this passage. For example, I see Jesus picking a passage that was very appropriate for the occasion. In fact, back there in verse 17, it says, "He opened the book, they gave him the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written." So he went looking for exactly what he wanted and got it.
It's an interesting thought. I hadn't seen that in that scripture. Another lesson that we can draw from this is that Christ personalized the scripture. It had meaning to him. And because it had meaning to him, he was able to convey that meaning to his audience, the congregation in that synagogue. And we have a messianic announcement. This is a messianic scripture passage, which the hearers understood to be messianic. And it is a grand announcement of the future of this man's role on earth. And I think it must have had tremendous power. He certainly felt it.
No question about it. And it did have power. In fact, it impacted his listeners. there is that incredible sequence that follows then as he begins to unfold the scripture as he talks of what he has read. And pretty soon, not only are their eyes fixed on him, they become very angry and they take him out and want to throw him off the cliff. So it's a very fascinating thing. If you put it a different way, it wasn't when he finished that someone would come up to him and say, "That was a very lovely reading of the Bible. You did that so beautifully," you know. No, they were impacted. They knew that he had a message he wanted to get across as he read.
We would not call this a dull moment.
Wouldn't at all, no. A listener response is something that's a good indication of when reading of Scripture is done properly in the public. In fact, if I say that again, I think we've captured exactly where we're going this visit. Listener response is one of the good indicators of the proper public reading of Scripture. Karen, is this a good indicator today? Are people responding well as the Scripture is read in our church services?
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, I think we would have to answer no. We are almost programmed to tune out at that moment. Scripture reading has been done so poorly and in such a humdrum fashion that we have an expectation that this is not going to be interesting and it is not going to have meaning to us, so we turn off our minds. And I think this is part of your and my concern, that we begin to work on that public reading of Scripture.
Let's pick up some of the ideas that Jesus manifested here. For example, I think it's important, if we are given the option, to choose very carefully a passage that's appropriate for the occasion. Sometimes in given churches, there's a following of a liturgical form, so there is a set reading of Scripture. But oftentimes in churches, there's great freedom. And I think people should very carefully say, what would be the most appropriate Scripture possible for this Sunday morning, and then work on that.
Sometimes Scripture is assigned. You don't have a choice. But even then, I think we can make it personal. And the way we do that is by reading over the Scripture as though it were Bible study, where we give attention to it, where we pray over it and say, what does this mean to me? Where we invite the Holy Spirit to impress our hearts with the meaning of that Scripture. And when it touches our lives, when it moves us emotionally, when truth leaps out of the pages, then when we read it, we will be conveying a content that is personalized to us and has more likelihood of becoming personal to those who hear it.
So we want to make that Scripture our own. This has to be my Scripture almost that I'm sharing with you. And we do want it to have an impact on people, even as Jesus did. In fact, I believe oftentimes the readers of Scripture in our public services do not have any sense of expectation that it's going to change anyone. It just kind of that it's tossed out. This is a tradition now. We've filled that part of the service. But they aren't looking forward to God's Word interacting with those lives in a special way. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, we had that verse that's kind of the overview for this whole three-week series, where Paul says to Timothy, "Till I come, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." And we said yesterday that we've given a lot of attention to preaching, a great deal of attention to teaching, but we need to give more attention to the public reading of Scripture. We dare not allow it to become just tradition. When actors have trouble with their lines, they tend to deliver words but not the meaning of the words. This is how the director works with them.
Well, he will say to them, "Now I want you to put your script down, and I want you to tell me in your own words what this portion meant." And so they have to think it through. They have to begin to feel it. And then they say in their own words what the script said, but all of a sudden it takes on a totally different meaning. And when they have finally done that, then they can go back and deliver the lines with greater impact.
Well, by putting it in their own words, they've captured the essence of what is there. They've figured out what's important. Now, a secret to share, I don't think I'll embarrass Ted, but that's exactly what I asked Ted to do. I said, "Read this through, and I want you to get it in your own words so you know what you feel most strongly about." And he did this. And then Ted began to work on the Scripture. Now, this is interesting because as people hear it, they hear the finished product. And we went through that, Ted, what, maybe seven times, I guess. In fact, about the fourth time, I said, "Ted, are you reading those words of Christ as though he himself were saying them, or are you reading about Jesus saying them?" And he said, "I think, David, you're right. I'm reading about Jesus saying them." So I said, "Put them in your own words and then go back and say them again." And he captured them beautifully, didn't he?
I think that we need not to be afraid of practicing what we're going to read. I think this is one of the great simple failings. people have a scripture, and often they haven't even really practiced it. They read it because they think they can read it, but they don't do a good job. And so they may have to go through it 7 times. Ted is a master, but that master does not come without work.
Ted read it after 5 times. I thought he had it, but Ted didn't think he had it. He wanted to do it again. And finally I said, Ted, you couldn't do it better. Don't read it anymore. But musicians practice their material. Preachers go over what they're saying if they're good at their trade. And I think in terms of scripture reading, we have to get into the mindset that we cannot do it last minute. In fact, Karen, through this series, I hope we can put a ban on all last-minute choosing and reading of scripture. What if someone doesn't have David Maines or Karen Maines to critique them as they're going through the reading of scripture, getting ready for a Sunday morning?
Well, one thing I'm beginning to do just with my broadcasting is to tape on cassette and listen to what I have taped and then erase it, go back, do it differently, see how that sounds. And I think that's a simple tool that many people could do to practice and listen to themselves in their scripture reading.
Even backed up just one before that, they could just listen to themselves as they read aloud. A lot of times I have the feeling as a person reads the Bible in church, they've never once heard their own voice in their own head say the words. Because if they had, they would have known that they're going to stumble over this word because they don't know how to pronounce it.
I think we can invite someone to come and listen and give us suggestions. A husband, a wife, teenagers always have ideas on things like that.
So at least ours do. Yeah. I'm sure all teenagers do. What kind of response are we wanting when we read the Bible in church?
We want audience response, and one of the ways we measure that is by the kind of attention that audience gives to us. And those of us who are privileged to do public speaking know when the attention of an audience is engaged. There's a quiet, there's a hush. Eyes are looking toward you. You feel as though you could mold that audience with your hands, except you're doing it with your voice. So attention, the audience attention, is one of the areas by which we measure whether we're getting response.
In church, one knows if the congregation is listening or listening with rapt attention, no question about it. I think comments are another kind of response we can look for. That was very meaningful. You know, you open the scripture in ways I've never thought about it before.
Someone might say to you, I would love to hear you do that again. It was so meaningful to me. And that's another indicator that we have done well.
Listener response is one of the good indicators of the proper public reading of scripture. Well, we're just getting into the topic. I'm hoping that people will be with us every day. Tomorrow, I want to talk about special techniques for solo readers. We hinted at one, as Ted read earlier, because we had a slight touch of sound effects. But there are many more. So special techniques for solo readers. Our ultimate desire
is down with the dolls.
And we want to get the people called out who will be a part of the process of saying, no more, we're going to bring Scripture alive in the church. Well, we're back to you, Ted, and thanks so much for the extra work to make that Luke passage just right.
You're very welcome, David. I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to take part.
Wow, you two certainly hit that one hard, and wasn't Ted's Scripture reading just wonderful? You know, I miss Ted. Ted was a very good friend of mine. He's home with the Lord now.
Yes.
And he had one of the most beautiful radio voices of all of the announcers I've ever met. He had the traditional thunder throat. But interesting that here's a professional broadcaster who had to read that passage of Scripture at least 7 times until he was satisfied that he had captured it in the right way.
Yeah, he was resonating with this series. Ted did a lot of drama work on programs like Unshackled and that, so he had all kinds of experience, and yet he knew that he wasn't going to just get up and do that cold. In other words, with no practice whatsoever. He wanted to feel it. And he's the kind of person that you want to use as a model. Yeah, those are good memories, listening to him do that.
Yeah, back in the 1970s, I worked at a Christian radio station in Connecticut, and on Saturday mornings, the air shift that I had, we aired a lot of the moody drama programs for kids, and Ted had the central role in a radio drama called Cleared for Takeoff.
And yeah, that's interesting.
And long before I had the privilege and pleasure of meeting Ted, I was just thrilled by his ability to play all of these different roles. So I have in my mind and my imagination that up in heaven, when it's time to read Scripture, Ted is one of the ones that they have come up and read from God's Word right in the presence of Christ himself.
So. Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
It's been fun having you with us for this series of broadcasts. It's a very serious topic in a way, because sometimes the reading of Scripture seems to get short shrift in our worship services. So we hope that by sharing these old broadcasts that are still new in their content and theme, it will be helpful to you. We're glad that you found the SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to come back for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.